Bye.
And now, at a combined weight,
absolutely not.
The Face Beat Heels High Podcast.
Hey, you. You're listening to a wrestling podcast made by women.
If you don't like women or wrestling, you should probably tap out now.
The views expressed on this podcast are mostly based on personal opinion, and any toxicity brought to the attention of the host will be openly mocked. Mocked via public forum. Seriously, though, we will make fun of you. We like to drink, laugh, and talk wrestling. So, again, if you don't like to drink, laugh, or talk wrestling, you probably don't want to be listening to this podcast.
Hello, 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 Face Beat Heels High Podcast family. Surprise! it is me, Princess Jellybean, otherwise known as PJ, and the Baker, and we are sounding off about none other than the AEW pay-per-view. That's right. The Face Beat Heels High Podcast has officially made the jump, the leap, and on International Women's Day, I will say also.
That's right.
Into covering AEW.
Happy International Women's Day to you, Claudia.
Wow. I should be saying that to you, though. You're way more international than I am.
Oh, toss, yes. That is correct. So I did receive a WhatsApp message from my mom this morning and a nice Tweety Bird image from my auntie wishing me a happy Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day. Hey, you know what? In my mind, every day is International Women's Day, and I love a woman. So please bat on to your queens today and every day. Absolutely. Just make it every day. I had a work meeting today with someone who said that every day that he gets to bring his daughter to school, he gives her a donut and a fresh flower so that she knows that as she grows up, she deserves a donut and a fresh flower. And I'm like, A, you're the best. B, she's going to get to be a grown up and be like, excuse me.
Where's my donut?
So
where's my flower?
let Steven be a lesson to you, to all you out there, and bring your ladies some donuts and some flowers.
There you go. You heard it here first.
You heard it.
You shouldn't have. You should have heard this in life.
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought I would share that story because it was
cute. I like that. Thank you, Steven.
So you guys know how we're, you know, talking about wrestling, and we're, you know, talking about what we want to talk about now, and that we, you know, want to put episodes when we want to put out episodes, and we're covering all the pay-per-views, and we're coming into WrestleMania season, and we're going to have Face Beat Heels High Podcast episodes coming into WrestleMania season. But basically what happened is that
What happened was
we both watched AEW's pay-per-view on Sunday evening, actually the majority of Sunday, because it was like 12 hours long.
It was so fucking long.
So we decided that it was good enough that we should put out a Face Beat Heels High Podcast episode specifically talking about AEW. So please keep in mind, Christina more than me, Becky more than me, but we are not super into AEW. So probably, like I said, Christina more than me, but I didn't know any storylines going into this. And I will just say that I was thoroughly for 5 hours to the majority entertained.
I literally said this on stream because I was streaming the pay-per-view or my reactions to Revolution on Sunday. And I did say, listen, I come here without knowing what the storyline is.
Wait, you were live?
What's going on? I was. It was fun. I did react to some of your texts on my stream. And I was like, oh, look at what Claudia said. Well, I kept on texting. I didn't care. I was also drinking rum and coke. So what did you expect? But I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yes. I was like, I do not know the storylines. I do not know necessarily exclusively what's going on. I knew a few things here and there. But I was like, I am here to be thoroughly entertained. Wow. English is hard today. Okay.
International Women's Day. It's allowed to be hard.
I was like, I'm here to be entertained. I know that I'm going to be entertained. And I totally was. You guys have been asking us to cover AEW for the longest time. And if we were ever going to do it, it had to be with this pay-per-view. Oh, my God.
Yes. So let's waste no more time. Right. Is there anything we need to talk about? Oh, yeah. If you hear this sound, we're going to keep some of our Face Beat Heels High rules intact. If you are new to the Face Beat Heels, now you got me doing it. You gave it to me. Oh, no. If you are new to the Face Beat Heels High podcast, we welcome you. If you are a woman, happy International Women's Day. And we're a podcast that likes to talk about wrestling. And also, we like to drink. So if you hear this sound, do yourself a favor, get yourself a beverage. And while you are listening, while you're kikiing with us, have a couple sips. Why don't you? It's only Tuesday. We got a whole week ahead of us.
And just, you know, shameless plug, because that's what we do here. This Thursday, for those of you who follow, this Thursday is Thirsty Thursday with those wrestling girls. And I will be there with them. It is Krista B's birthday celebration, so you don't want to miss it. You want to be there with us. Come and join us. Grab a drink. Grab a glass of water. We don't care. Just join. We will be there.
I love them so much.
I love them so much.
I know. I miss them. So actually, also just a quick plug to those wrestling girls. They are amazing. Make sure you're following them. You're following the episodes they're putting out, and that you're keeping track with us too. We have a merch store. You can get your merch. We have our YouTube where you can watch unedited episodes. We also still have people that for some reason watch like super old episodes, which I have no idea why. We must be entertaining.
Entertaining.
So make sure you're following us on Instagram. Give us a follow on Facebook. Follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you leave us a review so that even though, you know, we're not doing episodes as rigid as we used to, we still get new people as part of the Face Beat Heels High fam.
We want to see you and hear from you. So say what's up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into it.
All right.
So Christina's going to talk to us about the preview matches because I did not see them.
Okay. So there are very few things that I want to say about women's match and the Hook versus QT Marshall match. First, we started with a Chris Statlander versus Layla Hirsch match. I was concerned. I have to say I was concerned. I was entertained as I expected to be, but if I ever saw botches during that entire pay-per-view, it was during that match.
Yeah.
It was that match. Like at one point, Layla was slipping from the top rope on the turnbuckle. Some moves did not land where they were supposed to land. Mm-hmm. I was a little concerned. I was a little concerned, but we went through it and we were victorious and Layla wins. She's a baddie.
Here's the thing about that. I think that us being who we are, also everything that we stand for the Face Beat Heels High podcast, I think that we've definitely always had a lot to say about the AEW women's division. And I don't think that this pay-per-view proved to be any different. So I think in the women's matches specifically, we'll have a lot to say, but
that's correct.
You're also, you know, you're a new thing. Like you have time to grow. Like WWE women's division isn't what it is. It hasn't always been what it is today. So correct. I give you some credit for that. But there is a certain level being a women's wrestling fan and woman that we've come to expect, I think, with absolutely. WWE. And I also think it's like we live in New York City. Like if I want cheesecake at 4 o'clock in the morning, like I just open Grubhub. Like we've come to expect a certain level of like.
And listen, that might speak to our New York privilege. I don't care. That is not my problem. Your issues are not mine. Okay.
You're welcome here.
We'll get it. Welcome.
You're welcome here. Yeah.
This is the city that never sleeps. Therefore, give me my cheesecake at 3 a.m.
Like, do I want dumplings? What do you want? To dumplings?
Let's go to Queens. Let's go. Dumplings. Yeah. You know?
But that's say that, like, I think we've been spoiled a little bit with the women's division in WWE. Absolutely. So I think I'm going to have a lot to say about the women's matches that were on the actual card. But
I will say this, though, as a person who has been trying to semi keep up with AEW, they have shown very like they have. There's been blood, enough blood during women's matches to match up the bloodiness that we have seen or come to see in men's matches for there to have been like no extra oomph, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but I also have a hard time with that though, because I always say this, and I think I've said this several other times on the podcast with Wild Spice, who we love you, Wild Spice.
We love you. We miss you.
We're okay, sad that also, you're not here.
Also, just to, you know, just a quick plug for Wild Spice. We love her. We adore her. We know how fucking long this pay-per-view was, and she was working the day of the pay-per-view. So we did not expect Sweet Baby Angel to have the time and energy with everything she has going on. She was like, you have my blessing. Go ahead without me. You guys go ahead. And we were like, we'll make you proud.
Yeah.
So here we are.
So make sure you're keeping up with her too. But I think I've said before that like one bloody match does not a superstar Absolutely. Make. So right. I don't know. That's why Britt Baker has always, I love her attitude, but like the whole thing where it's like every time it's now like the blood runs down from the DMD and like all this other shticks and stuff where I'm kind of just like, show it to me in the ring. And I don't know if she necessarily did that, but we'll get to that. So let's start with.
We'll get to that. Hook versus QT Marshall. It was okay. Hook is great. He wins. I have an issue with his hair. So I kind of like, it's just, I don't get it. All right. I don't understand his hair. It pisses me off. And QT Marshall, I kept calling him Q-Tip. He had Marshall. The head for it,
yeah.
You know, like sweet baby, that's who you are. I don't care. But yeah, grown ass man beating up a sweet little baby angel Hook. He also reminds me of, you know, a young Captain Hook. So I just kind of see him as, arr. That's all I think.
Yeah, I got
it's
you.
A lot. So that's it. That's great. All I'm willing to say.
Great. Got it. So moving on to the beginning, then the first match, right?
My goodness. Yes.
Go ahead.
That was the name? That was the like ladder match, right? Wasn't that the ladder match? No, ladder match wasn't first. I'm sorry. It was Andrade Matt Hardy and Isaiah Cassidy versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy Guevara.
No, that wasn't the first match.
It wasn't? What was it?
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the card and it's kind of seems
I was
like
gonna
was
say
order.
I did not get
it, I'm sorry it was I a did, Jericho match you missed it
no but I was gonna say wait like I'm pretty sure that it was at least halfway through before I saw my new boyfriend Darby Allin so
that's true
like,
that's true,
I
that's
needed
true.
To yeah and yeah, it was it was Aubrey with the Euphoria makeup Aubrey. Yeah it was Jericho
it was Aubrey with the Euphoria makeup you are absolutely yeah. correct yes
it was
I'm
my
sorry.
Sweet baby Just angel start.
Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. Ooh, listen.
What a way to start a pay-per-view.
I mean, that jacket alone. Like,
honey, let me tell you something, King. It may be International Women's Day, but you look good in gold.
He really did.
He really did.
He really did. I was like, listen, Mr. Jericho, I will never be... on your list, I promise, because I want to borrow that jacket. Okay, so I want.
Can't, dear
list.
Jericho.
Dear Jericho,
can we borrow your jacket?
It's for science purposes.
It's for science. Do it for the kids.
Do it for the kids. Oh my God, that match was insane. But I'm gonna be saying this for almost every match.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I think that's kind of the overarching idea here.
Yeah.
But what a character driven, what a storyline driven match to start your pay-per-view with.
Right.
And like, you just don't get anyone better than Jericho.
I like this. Oh my God. Let me start with Kingston. I stand you, King. I cannot believe that you did all that for a fucking handshake.
Right.
Like, thank you. So
he's so good too.
He made Jericho tap.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck is that?
they're also just so, the two of them are also so expressive that like you can tell no matter where they're at inside the match, you can tell exactly what they're feeling by what's on their face, which I thought was like a beautiful gift to me, like a birthday gift to me. My birthday is not until November, but
So yeah, I noticed something that I was, that made me kind of like tingle in the back of my neck, but not in the good way. Every single time that Kingston slapped Jericho's chest, that sound, like the sound that hand made.
Yeah.
I was like,
do you know what? Like, I wonder if there's a conversation that happens between wrestlers, and I'm sure someone that listens to the Face Be Hillside podcast will be able to tell us that, because we have the best fans and experts.
We love you.
And we are not fans, or I mean, we're our fans, but we're not experts.
Not experts.
So I want to know what the conversation looks like when Becky Lynch was talking to Bianca Belair to be like, no, like, I want you to whip me. Like, I want to see it. Yeah. I wonder if that happened. And then you like fist bump at the end. If Jericho was like, hey, why don't you slap the shit out of my chest to the point where like I can't breathe.
I would hope so. I mean, not that he can't breathe, but I would hope that there's a conversation to be had, you know, even for stage combat. We need to know, like, all right, well, you know, this is what I'm going to be doing. This is the choreo. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm so curious.
Check in with your partner.
Of course. And I think that was really nice to see too, as I felt Jericho was safe with Eddie, and I felt Eddie was of course safe with Jericho. So
of every, like, of all the matches that we could analyze and say this match was unsafe for whichever reason,
right,
these people were not communicating effectively on the ring. That never happened for me in my case. Like,
right.
The thought didn't even cross my mind on this match.
I don't even know if there was a time in the pay-per-view where I was like, I think that person, like, I always get iffy on the apron. Like, whenever two people go out to the apron, because like, it's just an edge and like your head and your neck. And like, that makes me really cringy. But I don't think there was a time throughout this entire pay-per-view where I felt like someone was unsafe, except maybe some points in the women's matches. But besides the point, like, those were just botches. Like, there wasn't a time where I thought like, oh, he's gonna hurt him, or like, oh boy. So
I hear you, and I agree. There was a moment that I was a little concerned with something that was happening on the apron, but I right now cannot remember. I think it might have been the
probably Daniels
and Moxley.
Oh,
or the latter. It might have been the latter. I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Yeah.
Oh, my boobs are out of control. Go watch our YouTube. Let's see. After Jericho, then we have the Andrade, Matt Hardy family, Isaiah Cassidy versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy Guevara.
Wait, are you sure?
I am pretty sure. Am I wrong? Greg?
We need Greg.
What was the match after Jericho's? Was it Andrade's match? Because I have the card right here, but it doesn't seem to be in order. I think it was whatever.
Let me try to find it.
No, it wasn't that
one. I don't know. It wasn't, because they went all up in the crowd and stuff. And
was it the ladder match?
No, I feel like
it was not.
No, there was something else. Was it?
Was it Jade? Jadon Tay Conti?
No, I think it was a dog collar.
Yeah, the one after Chris Jericho. Oh, it was a tag team championship match. So
yeah,
you're right. Thank you very much. So it was the Red Dragon, Jurassic Express, and Young Bucks. So that's what we got.
I got something to say.
Say it.
There is something really beautiful about a man in earrings, and I really don't know why I'm so into it, but I truly, every time I see the Young Bucks, they have another, like, they're like Claire's earrings that I would buy in like in like sixth grade. You know, when you would go to Claire's and they would have the like 5 for $10 sale or whatever, and you would, that's the earrings that they buy. And it makes me so nostalgic and happy. But there's just something, them like rocking them so hard, I think is something that I can truly get behind.
I feel this. I feel this very much. Also, they give me so much Fandango energy that I was like, they are
very Fandango. But then again, like, there's also Jungle Boy, who's just
my sweet baby.
God damn, my harem is just growing.
He is. I am willing to share. Okay, Jurassic Express.
Who
is my territory?
Full jungle Jurassic.
I mean, you know how I feel about Luchasaurus.
Well, that's the one I knew. That's why I wasn't stepping on your toes. They are a
tag team. They are a tag team.
So what, you just get both?
I mean, that's okay. What I said, I'm willing to share. But my point is, he is a 20-something-year-old. When is he going to stop being Jungle Boy? And is he ever going to be Jungle Man? Is he going to be...
Jungle Man is weird.
Fred of the Jungle, Jungle Dude? He and Matt Riddle get to hang out.
I would love to see that tag team. If Matt Riddle were to join any tag team in AEW, why is Christian Cage there? First of all, what's Christian Cage doing in Jurassic Express?
I don't know. I don't know if he's a mentor. I don't know if he's like a bestie. I don't understand that.
Where does he fit in that storyline? Like, you're not a dinosaur. You're not a boy. What are you? You're not a giant lizard man, and you're not a beautiful herbal essences commercial boy. So, so where do you fit in?
I think he just got lost in the jungle. He's just the person that got lost in the safari.
Is he Jane?
He is Jane.
Or no, he'd be Jane. Like, yeah, he'd be whatever the short one is, like the evil one. Who would he be in the jungle if we had to give him a character to be in Jurassic Express?
I don't know. I feel like he might have gotten lost. He got adopted.
He's like a tourist that like yeah, anyways,
but I was really excited to see what was going to happen between Red Dragon and Young Bucks, because it's a faction within a faction, you know? So yeah. Like, what are you guys going to do about this? Bobby Fish looks so good.
Bobby Fish looking tight as always.
Oh, Bobby Fish. My God, Conquistador.
Remember when we couldn't find him?
We couldn't find him for the longest time.
So long.
Like Carmen Sandiego.
We couldn't find Bobby Fish.
Give him a red hat and a...
Yeah, I thought that was really entertaining. And what I think that was done really well in that is that those storylines were pushed along without overpowering the match. And it wasn't necessarily, like we always like to say at the Face Be Heels High podcast or on the Face Be Heels High podcast, it wasn't about the unnecessaries. Like, the wrestling was still there. Correct. The spots were still there. Everyone was taken care of. We didn't lose the third, you know, tag team because of the unnecessaries that were happening.
Exactly. Which is what I love about AEW. Like, truly, one thing that I have really noticed is they really do focus on the wrestling versus the storyline. The storyline is secondary. While WWE is all they do, they throw that shit out my face and they're not even good. But anyways.
Right. No, I hear that for sure. And I think that they do a really good job. I think I said this to you on text message, but there's just something like that falls just a little bit short for me about AEW. There's like the end of the ladder match like wasn't quite there. Like the end of this match wasn't quite there. So like I feel like an acting teacher who's like, it's always easier to pull back than it is to go further. So that's my note to you, AEW. Go go, as they say, all in.
Put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of the day, it was a really good match because, I mean, every single match was a great match.
Yeah.
Jurassic Express retains. We are excited about this because we love them.
Yep. Oh my
God, Luchasaurus. And then now I'm right? Now the next match is Andrade. What is it?
trying to look for it. I'm trying to look for it too.
I'm so mad. This was my one job for today.
What was it called?
I was so excited.
What was the pay-per-view called?
Revolution.
Revolution.
It was the ladder match though. Yo, that ring up top.
What was that?
It looked like a Sonic the Hedgehog ring.
No, it looked like a butt donut. Have you ever seen those?
It looked like a cock ring.
Why is nothing in order? Like, why can't you find just the order of the matches?
See, I'm not crazy. They did the thing. Anyways, that ladder match, I was expecting more from Christian, honestly, for it. But I really appreciated how they were using the ladders.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, let me get an unnecessary amount of ladders on the ring. They were like, all right, these are proper props.
Yeah.
We're going to be using to ram these people against each other and against the everything, the dog.
Well, I think it's pretty rare that you have as many big dudes in the ladder match as they had. So like, it was kind of interesting to see like what they were, how they were going to handle that, what they were going to do about that. So
agreed.
Yeah. So I think, again, like I said this to Nick while we were watching, and I'll say it again here. I think that we've come to expect a certain level of athleticism and spots when it comes to our WWE ladder matches. And I think that what AEW did was, we see all of this in WWE. Let's take it and let's do all big guys and see what happens, kind of thing, to be like different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for me, that fell short because I needed like my sweet baby Ricochet to have his moment, like whoever deserves to have those flyer moments, like a ladder match is truly the time to do it. And I don't know if those moments were really given like the space that they deserved.
I loved everything Orange Cassidy was doing because I love the guy. He just brings me so much joy. But I hear what you're saying. If there was a moment for a high flyer, it was this,
right?
And he could have done something about it.
Right.
But I just love the fact that at the very beginning of this match, Orange Cassidy had literally a 6-move combo by just going boop, boop, boop.
With his hands in his pockets the entire time.
Hands in his pockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freshly squeezed.
Yeah.
You know who we didn't talk about because it's not even on this card.
No. So here's what we're going to do. We're just not going to go in order anymore. And we're just going to talk about what we want to talk about. So go for it. If we offend you by not going in order, you probably should be listening to our podcast in the first place, because we're a hot mess express. Not a jungle express or a jungle.
Choo-choo, motherfucker.
Jungle Junction Express or whatever they're called. We're Hot Mess Express TM. So.
Oh, boy. The House of Black versus House of...
I was just thinking about that because I was like, wasn't Aleister Black in face paint?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what Neville's faction is. And his name is not even Neville anymore. His name is Pac. But he had a tall as fuck Mexican man who paled in comparison because of the tall as fuck Nordic man, Eric Redbeard.
Oh, my God.
Do you understand how hard it is for a Mexican man to be 5'11"? Or for any Latin man, for that matter.
Right. And he's like, I'm the tallest one here.
Here comes Eric Redbeard. And it's like, chiquito. Like, it's was. Mm. But anyways, he looked fantastic.
Neville's so angry.
He's so angry now.
He's so upset. What's he upset about? It looks like someone stomped on his cupcakes. Do you know what he's upset about?
I don't know why he's so upset. All I know is that Black, you know, he spat at Neville.
Oh, no.
We're in COVID times, people.
We don't have time for this.
We don't have time for this weird ass mist
As much as I want to drink margarita out of the bag, like I did in March of 2020 or whenever that was, whenever the lockdown was.
You were right. March 2020.
Yeah, I don't want to go into this.
We can never go back to before.
Yeah, so I don't remember who won that, but I think it was also good.
I think House of Black won. Wait, was it House of Black or was it? It was House of Black because of the mist. I remembered
because COVID. Of the mist.
COVID.
Because of the mist.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about CM Punk.
Oh boy.
I don't know if that's what's next, but it's what's next on my heart.
It doesn't matter. It's what's next on our hearts.
On our hearts. And
MJF trolled everybody in their homes and in that arena by playing CM Punk's fucking intro.
I would like
We're not going in order anymore. I was just like, this bitch, this motherfucker,
with
a Ric Flair style fucking robe, but with his fucking Burberry. Go on.
I feel that this deserves a team shot.
Yes.
Thank you.
That entire match. With the CM Punk came out to his OG music.
Oh, that was so good.
And my insides were dancing.
And he looked like he was on fire.
Oh my God. I was so excited for that man. I was so happy.
Okay, so I'm gonna play the devil's advocate because I'm a female wrestling fan. And okay, so here's the thing. Maybe it's just my personal opinion on things, which is valid. My feelings are valid.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really hard time with blood that happens in matches so early.
Yeah.
And I don't think that in AEW, I saw this in two matches that were back to back with a lot of blood. I don't think they've quite figured out the proper time to fit it in for storytelling purposes. And I understand. So I guess I didn't really, because Nick told me that they cut him.
Are they blading?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Blading them?
No, they're probably doing it themselves. But they're saying that CM Punk, when he got beat before on like the Friday or whatever, that he got cut open. And so that he started bleeding so early because MJF like popped it back open or something like that. Okay. So it was like reopened, but have a really hard time with that much blood. And I understand it's a dog collar match and I understand there's going to be blood and I understand there's going to be blood and guts and whatever and tacks. And that's what we're here for. And I get it and I'm here for it. However, if we relate it back to acting, here we go. Cause this is what the Face Be Hills High podcast is about. I was once told that you fighting tears is a lot more entertaining and entertaining than it is you just like openly crying on stage. And I think that that's a note that AEW should take because a little bit of blood can go a long way. And I think that like build can be way more dramatic. And also, you're fucking CM Punk and you don't need it. So I just need to express that just for both of the matches that I saw with blood in them, I think. And of course, I'm sure that like Nick is in the living room listening to me right now. And he's like, oh, I hate that she's saying that. But like, I think that there's just a little bit, maybe figuring out, or who cares? Like maybe that's what the fans want, is they want blood. But I just think that there's a more effective way of using it as a tool in your storytelling than to just cover the poor DraftKings logo was just.
Oh my God. But for real, I just kept thinking how many mats have they brought to this pay-per-view? At least one per match.
Yeah,
because every single person was expected to bleed. Greg and I started putting on bets. Like we started figuring like how long is it going to take for this and that person? It was actually for the Adams for the Adams match.
The Adams.
But for the Adams match.
Yeah.
But that was the only one that we actually lost because, you know, yeah. like there was none. But that is exactly then my point. How come that every other match had to have blood?
Right. Or then, if you're going to do a match like that, put it at the end, take the dog collar match, make it main event. Like, no offense to Adam Cole, I would not consider that a main event match. I wouldn't.
It was great.
Maybe of a regular Friday or Wednesday, but I wouldn't necessarily consider it a pay-per-view. So I would have put
Danielson and Moxley as the main event.
Also, I think at that point, the last two matches were really tough because it was just so long that I think the crowd was just so ready to go home. And that's, I know what true. That feels like, because all you want at that point is Wawa. when Nick and I were in Dallas at WrestleMania, we left WrestleMania and then the only thing that was open was Wawa. And there was like, there was like 100 people waiting for their Wawa. And it was so hot. And we had been watching wrestling for like 7 hours. No one was chanting. You know how you first get to an event, like people start chants and stuff? Nope, none of that. People were like turning their shirts inside out. They were like, I'm tired, I'm done. But anyways, I think towards the end we got, and you know, I think that's why some of the women's matches got kind of like sandwiched in there. Which we'll talk about next. So
yeah, let's go ahead with those because I also know that our time is shorter today.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, so Tay Conti and Jade Cargill. I love to see a besito on screen, and I love women giving women besitos.
Besitos.
But that was aggressive, and there was no consent.
Yeah. Okay. No consent. I think that's really cool if you're like, Nick, actually, I can't take credit for this because Nick said this. He was like, it'd be really cool if like Adam Cole did it, you know, in his match. Like that would be a super duper surprise to like throw your opponent off your game. I feel like this was just a sort of misguided attempt at like getting, I don't know. I don't even know what that was, but it's.
I hear you. It threw me off, but I was like, I mean, I'm here for it, but at the same time, it just felt weird.
It just felt weird.
It was weird. However, Jade is to me, she's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
I love what she does. Mm-hmm. Greg did mention something that I do appreciate a lot. She's basically like the Goldberg. Of the AEW's women's division.
Yeah.
She's just going to go undefeated for the longest time. Her matches are extremely short, which pisses me off.
Yeah.
For the amount of quality matches that we received from the men's during this 5-hour long pay-per-view. And we have the women's matches still be anywhere between 4 and 6 minutes if we're lucky.
Well, and let's not forget too that in DMD in Britt Baker's match, not only was another men's match referenced and talked about, but they also read a like 30-second DraftKings ad at the beginning over their match instead of calling the match.
I was so pissed. She is the fucking women's champion and Thunder Rosa is a beast. Why would you do that? I was
Yeah, we are available for hire, AEW, if you need some people to come in and make sure that you are putting out
experience at this point.
Content that women fans would like to watch because it's International Women's Day. I want every women's division in wrestling to be as good as it could be. And that was just super disappointing. And you know, what's funny is that I think sometimes men don't even notice. Like I mentioned that to Nick and he was kind of like, they have to plug it sometime. And I'm like, but here's the thing, baby sweet cakes, is that this is like life for us, that it's like, they're working so extra hard to be who they are already. They have to work right. so extra hard that like taking that 30 seconds where like the best commentators in the game in the world of wrestling could be calling their match, they're taking that and reading a DraftKings ad for a sport that's not real.
It is real, but the results are known to the people involved.
Yeah.
So then why?
Why?
I said exactly the same thing. I think, remember when I told you the DraftKings thing? Oh, never mind, Greg. Insulting we'll talk Greg. About it later. Goodbye, Greg. But I said it around the same time. I was like, what is this? Like, this is not fixed because it is not fixed. But the people involved know what they're doing and what's the story that they're telling.
Right.
And why would you waste that time? Ugh.
And there was something in the, I don't remember what match it was, but Nick had said that it was one of the options. Like it happened that way because it was one of the options on DraftKings. And I was like, wait a second. That's super weird. It was something about someone going through a table. I don't remember who it was, but it was like something about someone specific going through a table that was like one of the options on DraftKings. So
I hope it was not Sammy Guevara because he went through two tables and neither one broke. So just saying, somebody lost that bet.
let's talk about Darby Allin.
Oh my God. So yes, that match. Finally, we got the House of Hardy, Matt Hardy's family, Andrade.
Remember when you said this happened first? Can you imagine?
I can't even. I can't stand myself. Versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy Guevara. Can somebody please stop making Sting fall from high places?
Okay, but here's the thing though. No, because he did not, it was not even that high. Those tables were
three tables.
Yes, but that's the thing that takes away from the falling you actually do, because those tables are actually breaking your falls as you go down.
Because he an old man and he can die.
I understand your concern for his safety. We all are. He's at the point where he could get a discounted Metro card. We get it. So there was that many tables because it actually softened the fall. I think it was okay. Darby Allin literally got held upside down and clotheslined over and over again into his metal grate.
Yes.
And I said, sign me up.
Claudia texts me. She's like, why? Please explain to me, why am I so attracted to Darby Allin? And I'm like, because he looks really emaciated and he really needs somebody to take care of him.
I pulled a Wild Spice. I popped right onto the website and bought a t-shirt, honey. I said, Darby Allin, you're one of the good ones.
Oh, he is great. Sammy Guevara, though.
And let's talk about that, because we really had like two different things happening, because we had the thing that was happening.
There was so much happening.
There were so many different scenes happening. I wonder what that was like in the stadium, because I think that was probably hard to like where your focus was, because you didn't want to miss anything.
There were people in the there was fighting in the audience and people probably wanting to watch what was going on like in front of them, but having somebody else slam another human being right next to them, like it was all over the place, and I loved it. I am here for it. Don't get me wrong.
One thing I wanted to say, what's the name of the champ who has the big, who's the Goldberg, what's her name?
Jade Cargill.
Yes, there was one shot of her at the end of her match that was from the side of the audience, but was behind some of the people. And there was one little girl that was standing up. She was so cute. And you could only see the back of her head, but you could just see like the way she was looking at her was like, oh my God, someone that looks like me. Like she's like, it was so cute. I literally pointed it out immediately. I was like, that's why, you know, you take the 6 minute match as a win, because
that's true.
if you can turn one, you know,
I'll take that over nothing, you know?
Right.
Like, come on. Come on now.
All right. Who have we not talked about?
We have not. Oh, wait, before we go on, because we have talked about these two, but this made me very happy. So the face of the revolution we didn't mention was Wardlow. He won the big Nuva ring. He was MJF's like
cage boy. Yes.
And when he comes out, when CM Punk is just destroying this man with a fucking chain, Wardlow comes out nonchalant and he takes off his ring and he puts it on the fucking mat. And I was like, ah, face turn. Hello. So good to see you. I just like that very, very much.
Yes.
And I can now continue.
Okay. So I think next we talk about Bryan Danielson. And
gave my shot.
Oh no. Wait, I don't know where it went. It's coming. I promise. What are you dedicating your shot to?
Just to the two of them. Just to the, you know, their story, their backstory, the everything that this entire match from beginning to the end when Daddy came out.
Daddy came.
I was just I could not deal with my own feelings.
Daddy is home.
Dedicating my shot to all of that.
Not only is Daddy home, but Daddy never had to leave home.
Daddy had to leave Florida. He was like, you go right ahead.
Yeah, Daddy said, I'll wait.
Down the street.
When you get here, give me a call.
Like, that's good. That's
and
good.
I got to tell you, like, his presence is just so powerful.
It fucking is. Holy shit. The moment the fucking William Regal walked down that ramp and said, you two make up. You are family. Stop hitting your brother. This was very Vin Diesel to me. This is my family. And family doesn't fight.
Yeah.
I was like, ha. But, you know, I have a very soft spot for my white trash John Moxley. And he looked so good.
He also just fully slapped them both in the face.
Both of them.
I'm sure you understand that, though, right? Like, being in a family where you come from, like, what do you and Jerry always talk about? The chancletas?
The chancla. This man came with waving the chancla at them, at both of them. And he threw that shit like a boomerang and got it right back. And he was like, you gonna learn today.
That tag team, though, they're gonna be the like coolest. I'm gonna buy their t-shirt too. I'm gonna have so many AEW t-shirts, and not that's how you know that AEW is good, that I don't even need the storyline to buy the t-shirt. And I am very picky about my wrestling t-shirts, but
it's true. This is factual.
I tell you how fast I bought Darby Allin's t-shirt, I like it was like Apple Pay. Like, I booped that shit. I was like,
boop.
He was like getting fucking wailed into the side of the thing. And I was like, I'm an extra small.
Oh, my goodness. No, but for real, this pay-per-view was just insane. I know that we're all over the place. Yeah. But it was just, there was so much to be absorbed. Once you moved into the next match, you hadn't quite finished processing everything that had just happened. It was, whoa.
And it truly did not feel like as long as it was, which is
at all.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Something we continuously talk about too, that, you know, we can't even get through a Raw without falling asleep.
And to see, absolutely. No, I literally told Greg, when Raw comes back to the city, don't ask me if I want to go, because the answer is no. I don't want 3 hours of this.
Wait, I gotta tell you something though. Do you know how Sweet Baby Ricochet won the belt? Did you see how he won the belt?
I did not see it, but I know that it involves Sammy and it's worth my time.
It doesn't involve Sammy.
No.
Almost at all. No, it's fucking Johnny Knoxville. That cost Sammy the match and put the belt on Ricochet. I shit my pants when I heard that. I was so angry with that. I can't even tell you.
This whole Ricochet thing reminds me of Jassy. Shout out to Jassy. She's the best. I'm just the kind of nonsensical unnecessaries that WWE puts us through. While I was streaming, I said, I can only hope to feel the kind of excitement that I am feeling watching this pay-per-view during WrestleMania weekend. And Jassy said, I know for a fact I will not feel that way. Oh. And it's so sad because I know she's right. I feel the same way. Yeah. I am not thrilled for WrestleMania. I would watch Revolution 5 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
My goodness.
So anyways, I just needed to get that off my chest because it's been weighing on me. Yeah.
It is important.
Yeah.
Let's see. What have we got? What are we missing? Well, let's talk about the other women's match. Well, we did kind of already.
I just want better for Britt Baker. I want her to be better. And then I want her to also be better, given more time.
Yeah.
Because her levels aren't quite there for me. And I think that she is probably the closest out of everyone in the AEW women's division that the levels are the closest. And I think that's why she's so goddamn successful, but it's still not quite locked in for me. She's got the attitude. She's got, the minions, she's got, you know, that one bloody match, which I guess could get thrown into her score at some point that she's willing to do that. But then there's this like something's lacking. And I don't quite know what it is.
I hear you. And I don't know what it is either. All I know is that she brought John Kreese from Cobra Kai one day.
True.
And I'm just like,
and now she can do no wrong.
She can do no wrong because we're Cobra Kai in this house. Like, what do you want me to say? I love her. shall we talk about the Adams?
Yeah, let's talk about the Adams.
It's time for the Adams.
The Adams
family. My favorite thing of that entire thing, of that entire match was, let's go, Adam. Adam sucks. You can do no wrong. Everybody was probably chanting both because, I mean, what else are you going
to do? They were just chanting to chant because it had been such a long day.
It had been such a long day.
Yeah.
But my goodness. Listen, I know how I've said shit about Adam Cole before. My Panama City situation. I need to grow the fuck up. I get it. But Adam motherfucking Page is just respectfully though. Howdy cowboy. I'm just like,
I mean, I don't listen to country music, but for you, I could. I think my brain was also tired at this point, even though I was just sitting there and watching, but it was nice to have two good looking men.
It was very
to watch and talented very, wrestlers and good storytellers. And
absolutely. Tell a great story. It was fantastic. You know, hair for days. They were good for them. Good for them. But like, I was already 3 drinks in and Greg was sitting right next to me. I had no shame.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't. I couldn't. Like, how do you? You know? Alan Page. Alan. Wow.
Adam did you Page. Think? Did you think that Bray Wyatt was going to come out?
No.
You didn't think that?
I did not. But now I'm wishing he had. But did you see when Negative One come out?
Yes, I did see that.
Oh, sweet.
That was cute.
Baby, that kid is my heart.
Yeah, that was cute.
That kid is my heart. Wait, hold on. Before we go on, how do you feel about Swerve debuting?
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know how. I think I've never really. Did we like him?
I think I have whiplash.
Did we like him?
He was the only thing.
But he didn't do anything in it.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He really didn't. He had like an attitude for it. And before he was part of Hit Row, I kind of like felt that maybe he could like give me something I could enjoy.
Yeah, we'll see.
But okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
I think it's a we'll see moment because I think I think we'll see what direction they're kind of pushing him in. If it's anything like NXT, it's going to be a no for me. But
for me, dog.
But if they find something new and interesting, which I think AEW, especially with the men, are willing to do. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. But yeah, going back to the Adam Page's gear was top notch. I felt like he was inviting me to be a member of his rainbow court. And I was like, take me. Beautiful Thor man.
Country Thor.
I'll take it. We had a bet. Greg and I had a bet going on because the match started at 9:30. The match started at 9:30.
9:30. No, it was like 11:30.
I'm sorry. 11:30. My bad. It started at 11:30 or a little before 11:30. And I said, he is going to bleed by 11:32. And Greg was like, 36. We still lost because magically Adam Page did not bleed this time around.
He's been
bleeding every other fucking week. And I was like, with all of the blood that we found
throughout
the entire pay-per-view, I was certain that he was going to bleed as well.
And those bloody matches were literally like back to back or like
back to back.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they were like, we got to save money. We can only change out the thing once. DraftKings.
DraftKings only got us three mats.
Yeah, three mats.
Don't mess them up.
Right.
But yeah, I actually thought that Adam Cole was going to win. I really did. I'm glad he didn't.
Right.
But because there's something about Britt Baker and
Adam that's Cole what I said.
Holding the fucking championships together.
That's what I said. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. We'll see. Because don't they have another pay-per-view coming up in like a month or something? They have Double or Nothing or All or Nothing or Up and Down or whatever it's called. Okay. So one sentence summary in conclusion.
Fantabulous.
That's one word. Let me play James Mattern.
Let's do that.
And we can both marinate on our closing statements so that we can keep this episode short and sweet. Where is babies? Oh, right here.
Hey babies, it is me, the self-appointed commissioner of comedy, James Mattern. I just want to tell you that every week I'll be wherever you listen to podcasts with my show, The Commissioner of Comedy. I've been doing this, babies, for almost 20 years, grinding up and down, and I'm here to convey it to you about the do's and don'ts of the comedy scene, the proper etiquette, the unwritten rules, if you will. Whether you're just a fan, or you're a young buck starting out, a grizzled old vet, or just someone who wants to peek behind the curtain and see how the sausage gets made, tune into the podcast, The Commissioner of Comedy. This is what it's about. It's only on Paper House Network, and it's for you, babies. It's for you.
Okay, so two shameless plugs. One is for James Mattern, the Commissioner of Comedy podcast. Also, James Mattern has an amazing comedy album called The Check Spot. So you should definitely check that out. James Mattern is also a wrestling fan. We saw him when we went to AEW when it was here in New York City. And we loved meeting him and being wrestling fans all together. So check out James Mattern for sure. And then also the Paper House Network is our network and we love them. So you can find our podcast, Facebook Heels High Podcast, and a bunch of other podcasts. If you like listening to podcasts, make sure you give them a little tippy tap, a little follow. Again, before our closing statements, make sure you're following us on the YouTubes and the Facebooks and the Instagrams. Nothing much is going on until we have new episodes, which will be this one. So, and get some t-shirts.
That's nice. Do it. Be like
PJ when she saw Darby Allin and buy yourself a Face Beat Heels High podcast t-shirt.
You know you want to. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are they hot or are they Samoan? Is on there and also other ones are on there too. So
bring it to WrestleMania. You know you wanna.
Yeah. All right. If you wear a Face Be Heels High podcast t-shirt to WrestleMania, I will give you a surprise.
Oh,
I don't know what it is.
Tag us, let us know. But yeah. I mean Just saying.
All right. What's your closing statement, Christina the Baker?
AEW is great. They put great entertainment on my TV, and I love them very much.
That's it. Okay. My closing statement is, I'll get there. I thought I had one and I forgot it. Okay. I think that I'm really excited to see how AEW ebbs and flows and grows. And I have, even though we are not recording or watching weekly, it is really easy to become a wrestling fan by watching AEW.
That is correct.
I know the majority of the people that are part of our Base Beat Heels High fam are all already wrestling fans, but I think that AEW is putting out the kind of content that they're going to grow just the wrestling universe as a whole. So I'm really excited about that.
Yes, snaps.
Well, thanks for joining us for this super special AEW episode of the Face Beat Heels High podcast, brought to you by the Paper House Network. Until the next time we record, keep your face beat.
You know when that is.
Oh, well, yeah. And join Christina the Baker Contreras on Thursday for Thirsty Thursday with those wrestling girls. Make sure you're following us on everything. Make sure you're following Christina on Twitch. Make sure you're following Jeree Wild Spice on Twitch. I do not have a Twitch, but I do have some puppets. And that is all I have to say. So until the next time we record, which will be our pre-WrestleMania episode for WWE, keep your face beat and your heels high. Bye.
Goodbye.